This news brief brought to you by the International News Net.
A WikiLeaks memo from Stratford, known as the Shadow CIA, states U.S. Special Operation Forces have been in Syria since December, training groups in guerrilla attacks and assassinations to bring down Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. The memo recounts a Pentagon meeting where officials said special operation teams were already on the ground focused on reconnaissance and training opposition forces. Forces loyal to President Bashar al-Assad Wednesday launched an assault on the southern city of Dara, intensifying efforts to crush the year-long uprising. With the anniversary of the revolt falling on March 15th, the Syrian army has multiplied its attacks on opposition flashpoints, sweeping rebels from the northwestern city of Idlib and sending up to 130 tanks and armored vehicles to the southern city of Dara.
A massive roadside bomb Wednesday killed 8 civilians traveling in a minivan in Afghanistan's Helmand province as U.S. Defense Secretary Leon Panetta was paying an unannounced visit to the region. Officials said those killed in the explosion were so badly mangled their bodies were unrecognizable. Last week, 6 British troops were killed by a massive bomb in Helmand. Ugandans viewing the YouTube video of Joseph Kony, head of the Lord's Resistance Army, threw rocks at the screen, complaining the people of Uganda weren't actually in it. The video released last week by the non-profit organization Invisible Children shines light on Joseph Kony's brutal rebel group. Since the rural areas of northern Uganda, where Kony did some of his worst damage, don't have internet access, almost none of the 77 million people who viewed the Stop Kony campaign video were actual victims. Al Jazeera reports former child soldiers and victims of the Lord's Resistance Army weren't happy with Invisible Children's treatment of the story. A large part of the video shows a white man talking to other white people. The video has also come under fire for ignoring atrocities committed by the Ugandan government and for promoting U.S. military intervention.
Craig Smith, an executive director of Goldman Sachs, Wednesday used the op-ed page of the New York Times to announce he's quitting the firm, calling the environment he works in toxic and destructive. Smith, former head of Goldman's equity derivatives business in Europe, the Middle East, and Africa, blamed CEO Lloyd Blankfein and President Gary Kahn for letting the firm's moral fiber deteriorate, lamenting that making money has become the driving force of Goldman's decisions, usually at the expense of the client's best interests. Dashiell Bennett writes in Atlantic Wire, quote, "The fact that Smith would choose to leave rather than fight back suggests the patient is too far gone to save."
More details on these stories, visit INNWorldReport.net.
Looking for some truth? You found it. LogosRadioNetwork.com.
Propaganda. Disinformation. Misinformation. Deception. Deceit. Spin. Untruths. Half-truths. Lies. You know the truth. Looking for something different? Visit Truth News Radio Australia, www.truthnews.com.au.
you're listening to Truth News Radio Australia on the 22nd of March 2012, and we are live. We are broadcasting live. This is our first show that is fully live. We are on the Logos Radio Network, and it is really great to be here. And it's been a bit of a struggle getting everything organized today. We've got a massive show lined up. I have coming on in about half an hour. I've got Matt Turner from a band from Queensland in Australia that are a kind of a punk genre band, but they have an incredibly strong sort of message in their music. And I'm really, really excited about actually having them on. It's really great to have musicians on the show. So they'll be coming on in about half an hour. Then at the top of the second hour, I've got Damon Crowe, who is he's actually the CEO of a telecommunications company here, and he's been a good friend of mine for a long time, and an absolutely passionate seeker of truth. And Damon's going to talk a little bit about some research he's done into the history of the Illuminati and the actual factual information that he's dug up going back to the 19th century, which I found incredibly interesting. I was talking to him on the phone about it a couple of days ago, and I asked him to come on the show. And I also want to talk to him a little bit about, free market capitalism, because he's got a very successful company, and he's a person who's awake and aware. And I think it's really important to understand that finding truth and having an integrity in yourself is not incompatible with succeeding in business. And I think that's a really important message to get across. Then we have in the final segment, I've got Josh Jackson coming on to talk about Bitcoin and a few other things that he's been researching. Josh is an avid proponent of the Bitcoin alternative currency, and we've done a couple of shows on that. So he's got some news there to bring with us. Now, in the first half hour of the show, I've got some news to cover with you, so I hope you can enjoy what I have to bring. And if you're listening to this show in the US, you'll find that we have a very similar range of issues that are affecting people's lives in Australia. And one of them, which I know is absolutely huge in the US, is the issue of coal seam gas, which that is the name it is given here. It is also sometimes called fracking, or that's the technique that is actually used to extract the gas from the coal seams. But the technical term is coal seam gas. And the point here that some of the points I really want to emphasize, and I've actually got an interview that I'm going to play, but some of the points I want to emphasize about coal seam gas is that, firstly, this is a secondary degraded form of getting energy out of coal. You get much more energy and much more bang for your buck by just pulling the coal out of the ground and burning the coal. And coal-fired power is extremely efficient and extremely low in pollutants, and it's a really mature technology. Now, there's some ironies in this whole debate over the environmental and polluting aspects of coal seam gas, because one of the biggest groups that is opposing coal seam gas in Australia are the Greens. And I think it's great that they're opposing coal seam gas, but there's an irony in it, in that the reason why coal seam gas has now become such a dominant secondary technology for energy is because green groups, including our Greens in Australia and environmental groups, have been lobbying year after year against the coal industry. And they've been saying coal is bad. We need low carbon emission fuels. We need alternative energy sources. And what's actually happened is the industry, the mining industry, has turned around and said, okay, you don't like coal? Fine. We'll give you something that isn't coal, we're gonna call it a low emission technology. Now, the proof of whether it's really low emission or whether it's actually got a less of a carbon footprint is so hard to prove, and it is so technical, and there are so many ways you can spin it that it's very hard to argue against it. Although that is what the Greens are doing. Well, they're saying, well, it's not really low carbon. But see, as we know, and as those who've researched climate change, global warming, and the actual influence of carbon dioxide on the planet know, is that the carbon footprint issue is not a genuine one. It's been fiddled with. It's mainly based on computer projections that climate modelers use, and the actual figures about how CO2 levels might be rising and actually how that might be affecting the temperature are, there is no clear evidence, and there is contradictory opinions by well-regarded experts in this field. So just to get back to the issue about coal seam gas, it is a very destructive technology for the environment. It produces contaminants in the water supply. It contaminates the air with fumes. People who live near coal seam gas wells have skin rashes. They have sometimes gas coming out of the faucets in their homes. So you turn on the water and there's gas coming out of your tap and you put a match to it and it bursts into flame. Kids get terrible rashes when they go into baths. And this is in conjunction with having coal seam gas wells right near where people are living. Now, typically this has been in farming areas and in rural areas, but now it's moving into the cities. And in the interview I'm going to play for you here, you can see that there's actually a whole lot of stuff actually planned for Sydney, and they're doing exploratory research. But look, I'll just kick off the interview initially so we can get a sense of it, and I'll make a few points about it afterwards. So here we go with the interview that I conducted at the anti-coal seam gas rally, which was held in Sydney last week. Hi, I'm just here reporting for Truth News for the CSG protest here at Parliament House in Sydney. And I got a little bit late to the protest, so I wasn't able to actually capture most of the audio.
Yes.
Would you be able to just give us a quick summary of what you're doing here today and what's actually going to happen now? I believe you've been speaking here and you're about to go into the Parliament with a group of protesters.
Yeah, I'm Jeremy Buckingham. I'm the Greens spokesperson on coal seam gas. We've been running a protest basically all day. We've had, this morning, we had a coal seam gas moratorium bill debated and voted down in the upper house, and now we're presenting a petition of 20,000 signatures in the lower house calling for a moratorium and a halt to coal seam gas in New South Wales. So this is about the community having their voice heard here. We've got this protest loud and strong, telling the people, the parliamentarians there, that they want a moratorium on coal seam gas, and that before this industry rolls out, they want a full cost-benefit analysis, a scientific, economic and social analysis done on this industry.
And is there any difference between the two major parties on their policies in regard to this at the present?
At the federal level, there's not. But at the state level, the pressure from the Greens, the pressure from the community has caused Labor to back away from their long-held view supporting coal seam gas. They are now opposing coal seam gas with us, supporting my moratorium bill. Unfortunately, the National Party, the Coalition, the Shooters Party, and the Christian Democrats, they didn't support us. We were only two votes short of bringing in a historic moratorium. We'll keep the pressure on. We'll work with Labor. We'll work with whoever it takes to make sure we protect our water, protect our farms, and protect our key agricultural areas.
Great. Thanks very much. I understand there's also exploratory drilling going on in Sydney at the moment. Is that correct?
There's exploratory drilling going on all around Sydney. We've got major production fields in Camden and Campbelltown. We've got plans for a coal seam gas in the Illawarra escarpment adjacent to Newcastle at Fullerton Cove, and drilling occurring right now today at Warragamba Dam.
Great. Well, I hope you make some progress there today, and I hope the T-shirts don't cause any disturbance. That seems a bit ridiculous. I heard someone saying there that they'd said T-shirts were not to be allowed in the Parliament House. Is that correct?
Or? Yeah, it's they don't allow political protests within the Parliament grounds, and it's just one of the rulings of the presiding officers that political T-shirts are considered a protest. That's fair enough.
Yeah.
We've had a loud, strong protest outside. Great speakers. The parliamentarians know the community's opposed. That's what it's about. I'll keep fighting for the community in the Parliament.
Great. Thanks very much. Good luck.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay, we'll just leave it there. Now, about the T-shirts, it turns out that the T-shirts were banned from Parliament. The protesters went into Parliament really not interfering and not being disruptive in any way, but the T-shirts were banned. And basically, these are just simple yellow T-shirts that had a wording on it that says no CSG. Because of that, they were all kicked out, and they were kicked out within about 5 minutes of going into the parliament. So, you know, that is another indication of how unfree our society has really become. Now, the man talking to you there was from the Greens. And as I said, you know, I think it's great that the Greens are opposing coal seam gas. But unfortunately, they have not really acknowledged their role and their continuing role in justifying its use by the ridiculous position they take on coal. Because coal today, with the technologies we now have, is not a dirty technology. The coal seam generators produce very low emissions, but of course they do produce CO2. Now, this is where the whole thing becomes so convoluted and so ridiculous with these pseudoscientific arguments that have demonized CO2. It's actually created a situation where organizations which are purportedly for the environment are actively collaborating in creating the conditions where extremely destructive environmental practices will be conducted. And then when they see that happening, they go, oh, that's terrible, you know, you can't do that, it's destroying the environment. But it's really comes to seem that they actually have created and dug the hole they are now lying in. Now, I think we're just about to go to break. So when we come back, I'm going to get into some more Australian news with you, and I hope you can bear with us. I'm Hereward Fenton, and you're listening to Truth News Radio Australia.
One is a serial hypocrite who lobbied for Freddie Mac before the housing crisis and for the individual mandate before Obamacare. Another, a counterfeit conservative who opposes right to work, massively increased spending, and funded Planned Parenthood. Finally, a flip-flopper who's been on all sides, supported TARP bailouts, and provided the blueprint for Obamacare. Three men, one vision, more big government, more mandates, less freedom. One man stands apart, ready to deliver real change, voting against every tax increase and every unbalanced budget every time. A real plan to cut $1 trillion year one and to balance the budget in three. Pro-life, pro-right to work, guided by faith and principle. Ron Paul, the one who will restore America now.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Are you being harassed by debt collectors with phone calls, letters, or even lawsuits? Stop debt collectors now with the Michael Maris Proven Method. Michael Maris has won 6 cases in federal court against debt collectors, and now you can win too. You'll get step-by-step instructions in plain English on how to win in court using federal civil rights statutes, what to do when contacted by phone, mail, or court summons, how to answer letters and phone calls, how to get debt collectors out of your credit report, how to turn the financial tables on them and make them pay you to go away. The Michael Maris Proven Method is the solution for how to stop debt collectors. Personal consultation is available as well. For more information, please visit ruleoflawradio.com and click on the blue Michael Maris banner or email michaelmaris@yahoo.com. That's ruleoflawradio.com or email michaelmiras@yahoo.com to learn how to stop debt collectors now.
you're back with Truth News Radio Australia. And we're having a few technical difficulties today. It's our first live show and things aren't going totally smoothly. But so far, we're pushing through it, and I'm really glad to be able to speak to you. I'm really glad to be doing this show today, and I hope you're enjoying it. My name is Hereward Fenton, and I'm broadcasting from Sydney, Australia. And I've just been going through some news there about our anti-coal seam gas movement, which is really taking off here because of the proliferation of coal seam gas wells that are being sunk all around Australia. And now they're actually coming into the cities. They're actually now sinking exploratory wells in the cities right near where people live. And it is really scary, folks. I mean, this type of scenario indicates just the level of lack of concern that the corporatist state really has for the welfare of people. And we've got a very tight partnership here between the gas and mining corporations and the government in some areas. Of course, in other areas, we have huge disputes between the corporations and the government. But that, again, is typical of a corporatist system, because the corporations always want more power. And it's almost like a sort of a gangland situation where you've got we've got power blocks, and you know those in certain areas want more control. And at the moment, there is actually a big stoush between the government and the mining industry. That's the mineral mining industry, over a tax that the government has imposed, and they call it the Mineral and Resources Mining Tax. And of course, the mining magnates are very much against that. And again, I'm actually not in favor of it either, but I'm not in favor of the mining companies. Simply because I'm against the tax doesn't mean that I think the mining companies are great. But there are a couple of good things about what the mining companies are doing. They're challenging these taxes, which are just excessive government control. They're just government control gone overboard, and that can't be a good thing. They are also challenging the government on climate change. And two of the richest people in Australia, Clive Owen and Gina Rinehart, and Gina Rinehart is one of the richest people in the world. She is the daughter of a mining magnate, Lang Hancock, who was for many years one of the most powerful men in Australia and had major mining concessions in Western Australia. She has gone on a campaign against the government and against the ABC, which is our national broadcaster here, government tax-funded broadcaster, against their completely biased and completely completely unfair coverage of the true nature of the climate change debate. And she's actually been working with Lord Monckton, who is probably well known to listeners in the US because I know he's been on the Alex Jones show many times. Lord Monckton has been out to Australia quite a few times now talking about the climate change fraud. And he is actually in negotiations with Gina Rinehart, who is very, very wealthy, to try and set up an alternative television station here. Although I have to say also, I am not completely comfortable with Lord Monckton's overall position on many things either, and especially when he announced that he wanted to make the television station just like Fox News, because in his mind, Fox News is the be-all and end-all and is a wonderful independent news source. But of course, those of us who really study what's going on know that Fox News is just another mainstream media lying organization, which in some cases, in some instances, does let some truth through, and great. And it's true that on the climate change issue and on some issues about 9/11, Fox News has let stuff through and has given airing to things that are not on most of the other more liberal mainstream networks. And there is some bizarre congruence here between what is considered to be a conservative position and a willingness to look at some truth issues or conspiracy issues, which the left will always say, oh, well, that's just, you know, utter, you know, nonsense. That's just a conspiracy theory. But as we've seen, yes, Fox News has let some of that through. But on the other hand, Fox News has been one of the greatest purveyors of war propaganda that I think the world has ever seen. you know, during the Iraq War, it was just horrendous. It was really just a propaganda arm of the US invasions and still is to that extent. So again, you know, don't trust any of those third-party media sources, especially when they're that big, but get your information where you can. Get your information from all sources, and let's try and really encourage fresh independent viewpoints and fresh independent news media channels. Now, a couple more stories from Australia that I want to share with you. We have a taser death, and this was actually just in the last few days. We had a man who was tased to death by police all over a packet of biscuits. And it turns out that the man was believed to have gone into a 7-Eleven store and stolen a pack of biscuits. And then the police were called in and chased him down the street and aimed two different police fired tasers at him, and they also capsicum sprayed him in the face. And what do you know? He's now dead. And we haven't had a huge rash of deaths in Australia from this technology, but then we're a small population, but we do have a huge list of abuses of that have already come to public attention. So I think that this issue now really should be a trigger to get the whole question about use of tasers fully into the news. Unfortunately, though, we've had cover-up. We've had ridiculous statements from like the Premier of New South Wales, who said that he said tasers have been proven to be safe, and that was his response to this story where a man was actually killed, simply, you know, possibly over a packet of biscuits, but they don't even know for sure whether that was actually the reason. So just now in some international news that I'd like to cover before we get into the next segment with our guest coming up. We've got this great band I'm going to introduce you to. I just want to cover a little bit of international news. US exempts Japan and 10 EU nations from the Iran oil sanctions. Now, this is actually quite interesting because we've seen the massive sanctions that have been taken against Iran. And these sanctions have actually been extremely punitive to Iran. But at the same time, there are now moves to actually have Iran exempted from these same sanctions. The Obama administration is sending a message to major buyers of Iranian oil, in particular China, India and South Korea, that they can avoid new US sanctions by curtailing their imports of Iranian crude. Now, we're just going to break, and we're going to have a song at the beginning of the next segment from our guest Matt Turner and the band Skinwalkers. See you then.
A noble lie, Oklahoma City, 1995, will change forever the way you look at the true nature of terrorism.
Based on the damage pattern to the building, what the government says is impossible.
The grand jury did not want to hear anything I had to say.
The decision was made not to pursue any more of those individuals.
Some of these columns were ripped up, shredded, tossed around.
The people that did the things they did knew doggone well what they were doing.
Expose the cover-up now at anoblelie.com.
What's the spookiest U.S. government agency? The National Security Agency tops my list, especially knowing the boatload of data they collect and store. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht, and I'll tell you more in just a moment.
Privacy is under attack. When you give up data about yourself, you'll never get it back again. And once your privacy is gone, you'll find your freedoms will start to vanish too. So protect your rights, say no to surveillance, and keep your information to yourself. Privacy, it's worth hanging on to. This public service announcement is brought to you by StartPage.com, the private search engine alternative to Google, Yahoo, and Bing. Start over with StartPage.
The National Security Agency, or NSA, is best known for its code breaking and involvement in Operation Echelon. A lot of mystery surrounds Echelon, but many believe its goal is to intercept phone calls, emails, and satellite communications worldwide. Seems unlikely, but RAND Corporation Director John Parrucchini suggested otherwise in recent news stories about the bin Laden capture. He said that every 6 hours, the NSA sucks up a data stream equivalent to the entire Library of Congress. Yowza! The Library of Congress houses nearly 150 million books on more than 800 miles of shelving. Now that's a lot of email and phone calls to be monitoring. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht. More news and information at CatherineAlbrecht.com.
Are you getting fed up with all the disinformation, deception, spin, propaganda, half-truths, and downright lies in mainstream news? Looking for something different? Visit Truth News Radio Australia, www.truthnews.com.au, and may the truth set you free.
Welcome back to Truth News Radio Australia. It is great to have your company today. And today I am really pleased to have on the show a band and the leader of the band, or certainly representative of the band, Matt Turner, who has decided to come on and talk about his music and his interest in what's going on in the world. And we've played some music there from one of their tracks. They've got an EP coming out. They're pretty popular in Queensland, which is a little bit north of here of Sydney. It's a big area that has a lot of great music. And I'd just like to say, Matt, welcome to the show. Welcome to Truth News Radio. Thanks for coming along.
Yeah, hi. How you going, guys? Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, look, we're a bit disorganized today, so a bit of a miracle we managed to get this all together at the last minute, especially getting your music on and everything. But hopefully, and we'll probably be playing another track at the end of the next segment. But you're a Queensland boy.
Yeah. Grown up on the Gold Coast my entire life.
Yeah, great. And your music has a really strong kind of it's got a message, and it's really it's hardcore punk as well. I'm just really interested in the mix of those two, that genre with something like this, because it's a bit unusual. How did all this evolve?
Yeah, I suppose that's a bit of a story. I mean, we started back in 2008, and we've always been sort of semi-aware people, but as the years went on, we started sort of having our eyes open to things that happen as you do grow up, and I suppose we just chose not to ignore it. We wanted to do something about it, and we started incorporating some of those ideas into the music, and sooner or later it was all, very much for me, it was all about trying to do something to help, to raise awareness, to help people out and make a difference. And great place for us to start's been right here in Australia. So we came down to Sydney in the last couple of visits over the last few years to work with the homeless down there at the youth centres there with Oasis and Captain Paul Malt. Yeah.
That's great. So you've been in Sydney a bit and you are performing around the country. What are the sort of venues do you play at typically?
Yeah, well, we just finished our first national tour at the end of last year. Right. That was spent doing a lot of, it was a mix of, mid-sized to normal venues that you normally come across, and then because we did a lot of rural shows and pubs and things like that, and we got in and played with some of the local acts around the areas, and just getting our feet wet doing some touring.
Great stuff. Yeah, and you've got an EP coming out, is that right?
No, we released an EP last year called Fall or Resist, and come this year we've got a single coming out next month. I think it's May. It is May 7th. We've got a new single dropping called I Don't Believe It, and we'll probably keep those singles up through the year. So can expect a frequent release of music, and then the plan is to get a full album out by the end of the year.
Yeah, cool. That sounds really great. And I'd just like to ask you a bit maybe about, where you stand or where you sit in the spectrum of thought about what's going on in the world. Obviously you've taken an interest in our show, and as you probably no doubt know, that we have a different take on a lot of issues that are also very politicized, and you get very strong viewpoints from certain aspects of our community that are political or activists that we consider to be completely incorrect. I mean, and climate change is one of them. And climate change has been something that has been really dominant in Australian news because of our Prime Minister essentially lying to the people about a carbon tax, and the sense that many people have that they're having the wool pulled over their eyes, and that this is some sort of power grab that is just basically giving more money to government, and that a lot of that money is going to some kind of centralized world government, or that is the plan to funnel a lot of this money into some kind of overarching dominant power structure. I mean, what do you think about that issue? I'm just curious to know.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I haven't fallen down the rabbit hole with all of the information that comes along with that. I mean, I'm definitely not your right-minded thinker who stays inside the box, but I've been through all of the theories and what people have to say and what's going on in the world, and most definitely there are some troubling signs of things that are happening in the world, and not everybody can explain it, and everybody does have different opinions, and I think that's where we we sort of go wrong, is we forget that the most important thing, simply put, is to be remembering community and staying unified as a people. Because that's what we need to do to fix things in the world. We need to stick together and try to help each other and think about one another. And people that are trying to create dominant power structures within the world should probably think twice, because if you've seen the way the world is going right now, there's people all across the streets in the world, and It's definitely a time of change, and people need to keep their minds open to what is happening and hope that we can all stick together through it.
Yeah, really interesting you've got that community focus there. And, you know, part of the problem, though, would you not agree, is that, like, when you get a tyrannical trend developing in a society, they often use a lot of this same language back against us, and they say, well, we have to do this for the greater good. And
yes,
and
yes. So, a lot of
– yeah.
It's all very twisted that way. I see a lot of that myself, and it's hard to come to grips with sometimes. I mean, what you really want is a place where people can just live freely, and we're not offered that as often as we should. You know, people shouldn't have to live on the streets. People shouldn't have to be homeless, or, you know, but those are realities that shouldn't exist in our society as a whole. And that's part of why we do what we do, is because we feel that, and we want to try and make some version of difference if we can, you know, as much as we can.
And so you're from the Gold Coast in Queensland. Is that where you live mainly?
Yeah, I live in the Gold Coast, out in the valleys and the trees and the country. It's nice. Yeah,
beautiful, beautiful area. Well, yeah. Is there a lot of homelessness up there too?
In the Gold Coast here, or across?
Yeah, just around Queensland and around in that area, yeah, a fair bit.
Yeah, no, it's definitely still a very serious issue across all of Australia. I mean, the time I spent here was, we picked up a doco about it that was from Oasis in Sydney, and it was aired on ABC and the rest of it. That's what really opened our eyes to it. But it's only getting worse at the moment because people are being pushed out of their homes, and, you know, young families who are just buying houses and things like that, and all of a sudden everything's changing and they can't afford it. So people are honestly in that circumstances more often than not at the moment, and the numbers are continually rising. So
yeah, the ability of people to just survive on a normal wage is getting harder and harder, and so
yes. It
is that the whole trend is just pushing people more and more to a marginalized state. And I think we're seeing that everywhere, and we're seeing it with people who are even quite, you know, that have quite good jobs, even they're in trouble. So look, we're just going to break. We'll be back for another segment, and we're going to be playing another song. Stand.
The Oklahoma City bombing. Top 10 reasons to question the official story. Reason number 2, why was the ATF AWOL? Paramedic Tiffany Bible, who was on the scene within 5 minutes, has stated in an affidavit that agents of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms told her that they were not in their office that morning. EMT Catherine Mallett also overheard one agent say to another, quote, is that why we got the page to not come in today, end quote. Bruce Shaw, as interviewed on KFOR-TV, was also told by ATF agents that they had been paged to not come into work. The ATF initially denied these claims and now variously claim that one of their agents was in a free-falling elevator, which has been disproven, or that they had been in an all-night stakeout, or that they had been at a golf tournament. As they try to sort out their lies, all we want to know is, did the ATF receive a warning, and if so, why did they not pass it on to others in the Murrah Valley? For more information, go to OKCBombingTruth.com.
At hempusa.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Micro Plant Powder. Our Micro Plant Powder is rich in iodine, probiotics, zinc, and silica to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Micro Plant Powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powders, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
It's not that any face called Floor is this.
They take your job, they take your wife, they take your money, they take your life, they can't reach you while we keep digging.
Welcome back to Truth News Radio Australia. Today I'm interviewing Matt Turner, who's from the band Skinwalkers, which is a punk band that's got a message. They're very aware of what's going on in the world. They're working with communities, working with homeless people, and just really interesting to have a chat about what's going on and what's going on in Australia. Matt, you know, we're just asking there before about, you know, homelessness and the sort of the situation, you know, with people that you've come across. I'm just interested to know, like, you know, with your music, like, I mean, you're basically, you know, you've got an inspiration there to try and sort of lift people up and wake people up a bit. I mean, you think we're in a bit of a, I guess there's a bit of a revolution brewing, perhaps?
Yes, that is most definitely a way of putting it. I mean, people for the first time in a long time are probably more aware of having to be aware of what's going in the world now than they have in many years because of the events of things of, you know, that are happening in our own country and across the world. And some people don't have a choice to know it because people are filled in the streets and, you know, it's not something you can just sort of ignore easily. So, yeah, most definitely things are changing and lots of people are rising up about what's going on in the world and they want to see change too. So, yeah, you could definitely say we're on the back of that bandwagon.
Yeah, I mean, it's really getting tough, isn't it? And we're just finding so many increasing restrictions on people's freedoms that you know, this is one of the main, you know, motivations that I do this show is that, if you don't if you don't have a voice against that, if you don't start to stand up for who you are, then these little incremental things that are done just start piling one on the next. And, you know, you find you're just going to be totally tied up. You know, you're going to be literally tied up in red tape. And year by year, we've seen this kind of erosion of basic human rights, basic human freedoms. And I was just talking on the radio there before about the recent tasing death in Sydney. I mean, you know, a guy accused of stealing a pack of biscuits is killed with is electrocuted to death, you know. And, you know, they don't even really know that he stole a pack of biscuits. It's only like he's accused of stealing a pack of biscuits, but, you know, now he's dead, you know. The premier of the state responded on television, on camera, by saying, tasers are proven to be safe. That was his response. Proven to be safe. I mean, you know, how do we deal with a situation where people in power just lie to that extent, lie in that brazen, most ridiculous way? How do we respond to that? I mean, it's just like language itself seems to have become just a plaything for these politicians to use.
Yeah, absolutely. I think from my point, I just don't spend as much time believing everything that the main, you know, media reports on. That's probably a mistake. Sometimes it's good to watch, see what's going on and all the rest of it, but it's probably better to get your news from independent sources these days. And the internet is one of the last areas where free speech is still held onto. You know, we've lost it through a lot of mainstream media, a lot of television and a lot of radio too, sadly. And it's, you know, small stations and independent groups and people that are working hard to try and bring people the best version of the truth that they can, you know, rather than stigmaring it with everything that comes with lies. And it's unfair for people because we all deserve the truth, so.
Yeah, totally, totally. So, Matt, when are you coming to Sydney next?
Coming to Sydney next will definitely be this year. Focusing a lot of our release in May locally in our, you know, in Queensland and doing a lot of releases there, but the release that follows that is already being, you know, pegged for tours in New South Wales, and we want to get back down to Victoria, and we really would like to get across to Western Australia this year too. So, you know, lots of plans in play, but it will be definitely through the mid-year that we'll be getting back down that way.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. I certainly would like to get to one of your shows. And
yeah, most definitely.
What sort of venues do you, have you been playing in? Hotels?
Well, we played a mix of pubs. There was a nightclub, I think, and then some halls plus some bigger venues more locally of Brisbane areas and things like that. We played a venue called the Hi-Fi in Brisbane. It's not a bad place, pretty big. But yeah, now we're open to wherever we end up playing. It's more about the people that come.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, and you know, I mean, your music is hardcore. Like it's hard punk. Do you find that? I mean, are you sort of inspired by the punk genre from the 70s at all? Or yeah, you know,
like look, I mean, we've all had our origins in punk for a long time, and we'll listen to it for a long time. But as a band, we've never really placed any limitations on how we sound. It's not trying to be punk, definitely not trying to be anything. It's just us, which are just really just three guys who really like playing music, and we want to say something about it. So that's really just what comes out. We've put no limitation or bound to it, and I think that's the best way for us to be as a band. And I suppose it just comes out the way it does, and a lot of people have seen it as heavy punk, some people see it as metal, some people see it as rock. So we don't really know what to call ourselves, so Skinwalkers seems to be just the best option right now.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I mean, no need to be overly defined. Yeah, just do it. Evolve and be who you are. I mean, that's the
whole thing. Yeah, we don't want to get too caught up in genre. Not too bad.
What do you think about the whole business about copyright and the music industry and, you know, sharing and downloading the songs? Where do you stand on that? Considering you're actually, you know, producing original content. What do you think about that? Because that's another really big topic that we talk about a lot on the show. And it's a pretty important one to musicians.
Absolutely. It's a very important issue, mate. Look, we've come with first-hand experience to that stuff. Copyright has been an issue we've faced. You know, so it's not out of the park for us. We've had this happen to us before. I mean, we've worked with our list of sponsors over time or people that don't want to do things properly. And, yes, people just feel it's okay to steal your art. And, no, we don't like that. Not at all.
Well, what do you think about some of these draconian measures, though, that that our government wants to bring in that are kind of like international trade agreements that really sort of start to criminalise people for, you know, basically sharing stuff and downloading? Because it starts to become another arm of like a really oppressive kind of nanny state. I don't know if you know much about it, but I mean the current ACTA agreement they've been debating. Basically, would allow foreign governments to extradite people for you know downloading a song, you know, and you could, you know, you could find yourself in a dungeon in China. I mean, technically,
wow.
Maybe China.
Yeah, well, that would probably be among the other really great new rules that are coming through at the moment as well. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm seeing a lot of these big changes happening law wise. I mean, people think that politicians make progress because they keep changing regulations, but the idea of having two parties and all the rest of it was to create that stalemate so that there wasn't so many regulation changes and people weren't trying to do that because the idea is that we had something worked out already. But we're constantly in a time of change, not only as people but through politics as well. We're constantly having our laws changed on us and people are going under new versions of suffering and losing their rights and having their freedom censored and taken away from them. So it's a global issue I think everyone's facing at the moment, and people need to be more aware of it, I think, try and fight for their freedom a bit.
The thing that's interesting about it, I find, you know, is that it's always done in this name of trying to either make you safe, trying to protect you, trying to make the world a better place. This is always the reason why they're doing it. So with the copyright, they're saying, well, it's to protect the rights of musicians. So you know, they're basically appealing to people like you to then try to bring in draconian measures that actually really limit people's freedoms in all kinds of ways by calling it copyright infringement. They're trying to enforce people to get vaccinated to say, well, you know, that's to protect society against all these diseases. We're now going to force people to get vaccinated. I mean, they would like to do that, and they can't always achieve their goals. You know, with the terrorism laws, it's, you know, forcing now people to go through body scan and microwave machines. So we're just probably finishing up. Any quick final words from you?
Yeah, thank you for having me. FYI, my entire life never having vaccination, and I'm a picture of health, so people should worry less about that.
Great. It's good to know that you haven't had any vaccines, or like have you managed to go through your whole life without having a vaccine?
I've never voluntarily given it. I ran from the ones at school and all the rest of it. I tried to avoid most of that, so. And I'm perfectly fine, but that's because they're not really giving you what they say they're giving you, so.
Yeah,
that's
great.
Up to interpretation, awesome. Right?
Yeah, really impressive. So the band is Skinwalkers, and YouTube channel, Skinwalkers on YouTube, just put in the full word, skins and spaces, right? And coming out sure on YouTube. Thanks so much for coming out.
Would you like to make more definite progress in your walk with God? Bibles for America is offering a free study Bible and a set of free Christian books that can really help. The New Testament Recovery Version is one of the most comprehensive study Bibles available today. It's an accurate translation, and it contains thousands of footnotes that will help you to know God and to know the meaning of life. The free books are a three-volume set called Basic Elements of the Christian Life. Chapter by chapter, Basic Elements of the Christian Life clearly presents God's plan of salvation, growing in Christ, and how to build up the church. To order your free New Testament Recovery Version and Basic Elements of the Christian Life, call Bibles for America toll-free at 888-551-0102. That's 888-551-0102, or visit us online at bfa.org.
This news brief brought to you by the International News Net.
The Wall Street Journal reports as many as 23 employees at MF Global, the brokerage firm that folded in October, might get bonuses for assisting with the company's bankruptcy investigation. President and CEO Bradley Abelow, Chief Financial Officer Henry Steenkamp, and General Counsel Lori Ferber could each take home six-figure bonuses. Customer funds totaling $1.6 billion are still missing.
Israeli aircraft targeted two terror activity sites in Gaza Wednesday. The attack came after a truce between Israel and Palestinians appeared to have held much of Tuesday. Each side had a different interpretation of the agreement. Palestinians said they agreed to the ceasefire after Israel agreed to end its airstrikes and assassinations. Israel denied Tuesday it had agreed to stop targeted killings, saying it remained a legitimate tool to fight terrorism.
Eurozone finance ministers have turned their gaze towards Spain, with the highest unemployment in Europe and expected to miss its budget deficit target for the year. The UK Guardian reports European leaders are suggesting tougher cutbacks than Prime Minister Mariano Rajoy recently announced to meet deficit targets. More than 100,000 Spaniards took to the streets Sunday protesting austerity measures. Spain's two main unions have called for a general strike March 29th.
A report Tuesday by the Inspector General for the Department of Housing and Urban Development says major U.S. banks obstructed a government inquiry into unlawful foreclosures. HUD spent 16 months investigating the foreclosure practices of Bank of America, J.P. Morgan Chase, Wells Fargo, Citigroup, and Ally Financial. HUD concluded these banks had foreclosed prematurely on numerous homes, often without contacting homeowners to discuss options to avoid foreclosure. The Inspector General's office said Tuesday these banks hampered a HUD investigation with shoddy paperwork and made it difficult for investigators to interview employees. The report describes a widespread pattern of misconduct, but fails to quantify the damage to homeowners or how many mortgages were affected.
Afghan tribal leaders say the recent massacre of civilians by U.S. troops was planned and not carried out by a lone soldier. Tribal leaders in Kandahar province said Monday several U.S. soldiers were involved. They said the killings were in retaliation for a deadly bomb attack on U.S. troops in the town of Pajawi. Tribal leaders said following the blast, U.S. forces summoned local Afghans and tribal leaders and vowed revenge on their wives and children. On Sunday, a U.S. soldier opened fire on Afghan civilians inside their homes, killing at least 16 and injuring several others in Panjawi. Local witnesses, however, put the number of victims at 18, saying nearly a dozen bodies were burnt afterwards.
More details on these stories, visit innworldreport.net.
You're listening to the Logos Radio Network at logosradionetwork.com.
Sick of the lies, deception, spin, and half-truths? Well, so are we. You're listening to Truth News Radio Australia. Tune in every week at truthnews.com.au or subscribe to the podcast with iTunes or your favorite podcatcher.
Welcome back to Truth News Radio Australia, and it is the 22nd of March 2012 in Australia. Of course, you're listening to this show in the US. It is actually the 21st of March, and that may have caused some confusion to our listeners earlier when I announced the show. Welcome back to Hour 2, and we're having a great live show today, and if there's anyone out there listening who wants to call in, you've got the numbers there from Logos Radio Network to call in. I don't have them at my fingertips, but you can easily find that. And we will be getting a Australian call-in number for this show very soon. And the guest I have on at the moment is actually facilitating that. Now, his name is Damon Crowe, and he's actually the CEO of a telecommunications company here in Australia. And he's a good friend and a very passionate seeker of truth. Damon, welcome to Truth News Radio. Damon, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Damon. Welcome to Truth News Radio. How are you going, mate?
Yeah, good. How are you doing?
I am excellent. And, you know, just trying to channel information here, trying to channel facts, trying to provide an alternative to the endless stream of deception and just the bottomless pit of lying that's going on from our government and the media. And I mean, you've been up against this, and you know, you're trying to run a business, but you're also you know, really delving into some really deep and dark issues. I just want to say thanks so much for coming on today.
Yeah, thanks very much, Herod. I appreciate it. Yeah, it's been quite a journey. I think a lot of people may be able to relate to my experiences, in as much as there seems to be a lot of people waking up over the last 3, 4, 5 years, you know, since the 2005, 2006, 2007, there seems to be a lot of consciousness happening out there. I think a lot of us were partially awake part of that, or at least asking questions, but I started on the 9/11 rabbit hole and then kind of went from there, essentially.
Yeah, the 9/11 topic really is just such a sort of a gateway issue, isn't it? I mean, you look into that, and I was the same. You know, I had a lot of insights, and I wasn't by any means stupid up to that point, but I didn't quite it didn't quite click, you know, as to the depth of what we're in, till I realized that we were being lied to about this major event with these planes flying into these buildings. And there's something so graphic and shocking about that. And you saw, well, this is actually now used to start a war. They're lying about how it was done. They're using the deaths of all these people, you know, close to 3,000 people, very similar numbers. You find out that it was all sort of pre-planned, and then you just go, my God, you know, I've now got to reassess my whole understanding of civilization. Is that kind of what happened to you?
Yeah, I was very curious to find out who and why, and that kind of led me down as many alleys as I possibly could get hold of, and as many subjects as I could, and I finally, you know, started getting into the Illuminati and this ruling elite, and then found out that this ruling elite have had a continuity of agenda for quite some time. And I think we may have been talking recently about the fact that you know, these guys are now posturing for World War III, and their agenda there, if you go back and read some of these grandfathers of these secret societies and power brokers behind the scenes, is to is to eradicate a large percentage of the population, but also to usher in, as Albert Pike put it, the pure doctrine of Lucifer, because these are all basically Luciferian occults.
Yeah, now, you were talking to me about this before on the phone, and you've been doing this intensive research into Albert Pike and the Illuminati, the Bavarian Illuminati in the 19th century. Let's just start with Albert Pike. Who was the man, and, you know, what is his claim to fame?
Well, I think he came out of Harvard University. He was in Boston in the U.S., and he was a brigadier general of the Confederates. He was very, very well respected in the U.S. He apparently speaks 16 and writes 16 different languages. So he was no dunce, but he believed he was connected. He had a bracelet on his wrist, and he believed he was connected to Lucifer continuously. And he had these very, very vivid visions that he wrote about. He wrote a letter to the leader of the European Freemasonry at the time, and about how World War I, World War II, and World War III would turn out. And that was in, 1870. And it's turned out to be unbelievably accurate. He's the grandfather of Freemasonry. He wrote basically the book on Freemasonry. And, of course, they protect all these secrets using these 33 degrees of Freemasonry. And obviously, the conclusion of World War II, you find that Truman, Churchill, and Stalin, all high-order Freemasons on apparently all opposing sides, were divvying up Europe exactly according to these visions that he wrote about back in 1870.
Yeah, sure. And look, that's this is an issue, obviously, of great concern. And I understand that that Albert Pike was connected to Masonry. I mean, was he actually a Freemason himself?
Oh, yeah, he was of the highest order. He was the Grand Master of Freemasonry for the United States. He was the top dog. And, of course, United States was founded with Freemasonry. I mean, people will may be surprised to know that a lot of the Constitution, its origins and writings were done by Freemasons. Of course, Washington, D.C. is just riddled in Freemasonry. But the lower orders of the Freemason group, even if you're a member of them, seems quite benign, if you like. And it's not until you get to the 30th, the 31st, 32nd, 33 degrees, you really start getting into it. But at the very top of it, and in the top of the Illuminati, which if you get into Adam Wishart, In 1776, he was banned from Bavaria. In fact, the Bavarian government outlawed the Illuminati in 1776. He was also the Illuminati was just another word for light bearer, which is also the same term for the synagogue of Satan. So they all believe in the same thing, but only at the very, very top do they share this information. You have to be at the very, very top, and you have to go through some fairly stringent initiation tests to get there.
So the Adam Weishaupt, now he's another character whose name pops off up a lot, and the Bavarian Illuminati, of course, is the historical, you know, proven antecedent of the Illuminati that many believe is still operative in world affairs, and you know we have these groups that are largely secret that are known, that appear to be some type of shadow government, and we've got the Bilderbergs, and we've got the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission, but of course the actual Illuminati is so elusive that we never seem to really know who the true Illuminati are, or you know whether these groups that we actually know of are just a front for that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, there's a multitude of secret societies. The Freemasons report through to the Jesuits report through to the Black Pope, and then, of course, you've got the Knights of Malta, and the Knights Templar, and you've got a whole range of secret societies, and they all further and foster the agenda in their own particular way. But if you go, the whole premise for Adam Wishart was to bring in a new world order, and he was going to do that in via deception and using extortion and manipulation. And of course, when he then fed in to out of Bavaria, which of course, by the way, if you get into World War One, World War Two, the Bavarian Illuminati was absolutely critical in the establishment of the Nazis with the Freemasons and the Jesuits. These guys have got a continuity plan that spans many, many generations. And,
Damon, you're saying there's a direct connection there between Hitler and the Bavarian Illuminati?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Nazi group was a concoction of the Illuminati, particularly the Bavarian Illuminati. So when Albert Pike was writing about these visions in World War One and World War Two, he was very, very specific. He mentions the Nazi Party and Zionists before either term was ever heard of. This is quite a revelation, and he said that they would start World War One using both German and British agents, agents of the German and British Empire, and he specifically spoke about Russia and setting up an atheistic communistic government in Russia to consolidate Europe. It was largely what consolidation of Europe was largely the pretext for World War One and World War Two, basically basically the same game plan, but in two halves. The first one was setting up the pretext, destabilization, attack on religion was his pretext for World War One, using German and Russian agents. And World War Two was the breakdown of Russia underneath this atheistic government, which was part of their agenda. And if you go into the Council of Foreign Churches, you'll find out their structure mirrors the Russian structure in terms of their titles, and they also people find it hard to believe that these people that invented the religion would also create atheism. But by the way, both all religions and atheism are going to be destroyed according to Albert Pike when there has World War III, which will be between the political Zionists and Islam, or if you like, between Israel and the Arab Iran countries, and that will be a cataclysm. He says this World War III will be an absolute cataclysm, and people will find themselves bereft of any direction, no moral compass, completely emotionally, physically, and financially ruined. And that's when they're going to then, for the very first time, in his words, reveal the pure doctrine of Lucifer. This is written down. This is not in dispute. He's unbelievably accurate. And there are statues and monuments littered all over America in tribute to Albert Pike. And he is the granddaddy of Freemasonry.
Just going to break. We'll be right back for another segment after this. Back with Truth News Australia, and we're talking about some dark...
Capital Coin and Bullion is a family-owned business built on the promise to bring you affordable pricing on all coin and bullion products. In addition to coins and bullion, we now offer storable freeze-dried foods produced by Augustin Farms, ammunition at 10% above wholesale prices, Berkey water products, gift certificates, and our silver pool, a new way to guarantee silver by prepaying at a locked price. We can even help you set up a metals IRA account. Call us at 512-646-6440 for more details. As always, we buy, sell, and trade precious metals, give appraisals, and cater to those with all sizes of coin collections. We're located at 7304 Burnett Road, Suite A, about a half a mile north of Koenig, next to the Ikebon Sushi and Genie Car Wash. We're open Monday through Friday, 10 to 6, Saturdays, 10 to 2. Visit us at capitalcoinandbullion.com or call 512-646-6440 and say you heard about us on Rule of Law Radio or Texas Liberty Radio.
What's been the problem with phone companies? High prices and contracts that lock you in for 2 years minimum. Not FreedomTelephones.com. Freedom Telephones are designed around the concept and reality of patriotism, loyalty, and privacy. With FreedomTelephones.com, there are no contracts, no credit checks, and no Social Security numbers required. That's why our name is FreedomTelephones.com. Finally, residential, mobile, and business telephones and plans that are private and never lock you into a long-term contract. Want a low price? Residential and business plans start at only $14.99, and mobile plans start at just $39.99. Plus, every month you pay your bill, FreedomTelephones.com contributes to your favorite programs. Don't wait. Support the cause and get the highest quality and the lowest prices by calling 1-800-600-5553. That's 800-600-5553. FreedomTelephones.com. Portable. Private. Perfect.
Welcome back to Truth News Radio Australia. I'm your host, Herewood Fenton, and today we are broadcasting live on the Logos Radio Network, and some of us will be getting this by podcast as well. We've got an audience now that spans two continents and an ocean in between, and it's going to be really interesting to get some phone-ins, and we're hoping to get Australian phone-in line soon so we can actually get some feedback from you, because really, that's probably the most exciting thing about having a live show, is actually getting the response from the audience. Now, I've got Damon Crowe on the line today, and Damon runs a telecommunication company who's actually helping us there with getting that phone number sorted out. Damon, the business that you are going into there is extremely dark, extremely hard to believe. Of course, a lot of it is disputed. And I have actually read stuff online that says that some of these claims are fake. That I did a little bit of reading at one point, and I get to the point where I just don't know what's a hoax and what's not a hoax, because it's really hard to prove anything with looking at stuff that's just like posted on the internet. Do you find that?
Yeah, I mean, you're continually massaging up your research and evolving it, and I think that's the way to find the truth. Is it's a bit like having a GPS, if you like. You have the more satellites you can tune into, and the more readings you can get, and then reference your position against all those other references to get a definitive overview of where you are, is obviously what you've got to do, and it takes. You know, it's exhaustive amount of research to try to get to that position, but I think irrefutably anybody can see that we are being led down a very dark road, and we've been led down a very dark road for a couple of thousand years. And consciousness, spiritual consciousness of humans, is the number one thing that they do not wish you to find. They don't want to know where you are in the galaxy. They don't want you finding out that we're cutting through a very strategic moment in time now, in terms of our position of our solar system to the galaxy, and they don't want to even know that most people don't even realise that the solar system is actually moving through the galaxy on a 24,000, 26,000 year cycle, depending which time frames you use, because time is relative as well. You speed up as you get closer, and so astrology and spirituality and consciousness, those key subjects. You'll never see anything written about those. You'll never be taught about them in school, and you'll never see an article very rarely in the paper about those detailed subjects. Yet they were the subjects of all our ancient forefathers and all our the modern civilizations that came before us. And so you can see now that we are definitely being led by some very satanic people. I mean, these people like sacrificing human life. You don't have to be an intellectual genius to observe this.
Yeah, there is something there is something about the inversion of morality that seems to go along with these power elites. I watched a movie a couple of years ago, which had been a banned movie for many years, and it was by a film director called by the name of Pasolini, and the film is called Salo. And what I find interesting about the film is it was actually banned in Australia quite recently, even when films like Hostel and Texas Chainsaw Massacre were totally legal. This film was banned, and you know why? Well, my theory is because it depicts highly privileged, highly respectable people in society, like judges and doctors and the top people in society, engaging in torture and sexual perversion and murder. And, it's an interesting movie to watch, you know, in the light of what we know now, because it was made in the 70s. But it basically was, I believe, banned because of that, because it's just cutting a bit too close to reality, a bit too close to the bone. And it shows, but the interesting thing about that movie is it was actually based on the writings of the Marquis de Sade. And the Marquis de Sade had a philosophy which had apparently was derived from, you know, his experience with the rapacious, you know, elites of his time, where they wanted to invert morality. So they basically wanted to say bad is good and good is bad. So why do they do it? Well, that seems to feed into this satanic idea, because in the satanic everything's opposite of what it normally is. And of course, if you're a Christian, you know, the Christ then has the Antichrist. But of course, I don't think you even need to be a Christian to actually understand it, because I'm not actually a Christian, although I have respect for Christianity, and I can honor all religions, actually. You know, I don't put down religion, and I honor religion, but I don't profess to be a Christian. But I can still see that there is something real in this kind of satanic inversion of morality, and it's, you don't need to be specifically religious to understand it. What do you say to that?
Absolutely. I mean, if you want to go watch some movies, watch some Stanley Kubrick movies. I mean, when he wrote Space Odyssey 2001, he basically, you know, became extremely well connected to these people in the 60s. And if you see his last movie, Eyes Wide Shut, you're seeing a very diluted, cut-down version of that movie, because, of course, when he showed the movie directors, because he had final cut rights, that was his deal with these power brokers of Hollywood, which were, of course, Hollywood, holy magic, wood stick, magic stick, magic wand, Hollywood set up by the same people as a brainwashing instrument. And Stanley Kubrick figured very, very strongly from the 60s right through to that last movie. And you never got to see the final cut, because not long after he showed them, he mysteriously died. And the final edited version was washed down. But you can still watch it. It seems a bit... it doesn't have the continuity that you could imagine that he would have done. And a lot of the really satanic stuff has been taken out. But you can see enough to see what went on. The very elite have done for a long time, had some very, very bizarre rituals. And that's well documented, the Bavarian Grove and alike. This has been going on for quite some time.
Right, yeah, and it's interesting about the film. So, of course, he died shortly after the film was completed. And that's, again, a bit of a mystery, isn't it? So you're saying that in the full version of Eyes Wide Shut, which we've never seen, there is much more graphic detail. Is that true? Do you know?
Yeah.
I mean, can we?
There's a guy that just specializes in Stanley Kubrick. He's like a Stanley Kubrick historian, and he speaks for hours on this subject. And I haven't got his details right now, but I can pass it on to him. But it's extremely interesting. He's written a couple of books about it. And, of course, after, Space Odyssey 2001, which was incredibly well-linked to NASA, if anybody knows, and his film studios, and, of course, NASA was a creation of the Nazis after World War II, and then he did Clockwork Orange, which was all about mind control and psychedelic drugs and controlling society and all this sort of stuff. And this is before anybody really even knew about any of these subjects. So he's a very interesting guy. And, of course, he was a bit like... Da Vinci, he used to encode into his movies all these subliminal messages and codes in the movies. And if you go back and look at the movies, you can see this, and it's very, very interesting.
Well, you know, there was that strange tongue-in-cheek documentary that claimed that Stanley Kubrick had faked the moon landings, and you know, it appeared that that documentary was actually not serious, but it came across as being very serious, and a lot of people believed it on its face value. But then you sort of wonder about it, you know, when you hear all these other stories about Kubrick. And why they went to this trouble of making a so-called fake documentary about Kubrick the moon landing shots. It's just, I don't know, there's just so many confusing and contradictory things to try and wade through.
Well, you've got to try to get into really this stuff. The really valid bits of information are diluted down deliberately by a strategic placement of disinformation, so that you, when you're trying to find the trail, you're continually given signs along the way that are meant to throw you off the path. You know, so it's trying to throw you off the scent. And so you have to be a very diligent hound dog to stay on path and be able to discern between what is disinformation and what is real. I mean, just have a look at the information here. This guy, Space Odyssey 2001, was made from 1963 to 69, the exactly same period as NASA. More than a coincidence, I think.
Well, it is interesting. I mean, the dates do overlap there quite nicely. Thanks so much for coming on today. We're just about to finish up. We probably don't really have time to get into any more detail. Thanks, Damon, and I hope to contact you again soon.
Good on you, Harewood. Thanks very much.
This is Building 7, a 47-story skyscraper that fell on the afternoon of September 11th.
The government says that fire brought it down. However, 1,500 architects and engineers concluded it was a controlled demolition.
Over 6,000 of my fellow service members have given their lives.
And thousands of my fellow first responders are dying.
I'm not a conspiracy theorist.
I'm a structural engineer.
I'm a New York City correction officer.
I'm an Air Force pilot.
I'm a father who lost his son.
We're Americans, and we deserve the truth.
Go to rememberbuilding7.org today.
Unless you're a bump on a log, you've probably heard the term blog. A blog is an online journal with thoughts and opinions, but have you heard of a flog? I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht, and I'll tell you all about it in just a moment.
Privacy is under attack. When you give up data about yourself, you'll never get it back again. And once your privacy is gone, you'll find your freedoms will start to vanish too. So protect your rights, say no to surveillance, and keep your information to yourself. Privacy, it's worth hanging on to. This public service announcement is brought to you by StartPage.com, the private search engine alternative to Google, Yahoo, and Bing. Start over with StartPage.
A flog is a fake blog. Sometimes flogs are just for fun, but some flogs masquerade as real blogs in order to promote a company, product, or political point of view. One notorious flog, Walmarting Across America, was supposedly written by a couple who just loved Walmart stores. As they drove their RV across the country, they made a point to park in Walmart lots every night to write super upbeat stories about the company and its employees. It sounded too good to be true, so reporters investigated and found out the couple was paid to say such nice things about the much-hated retailer. Just one more reason Walmart deserves a flogging. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht. More news and information at CatherineAlbrecht.com.
You're listening to Truth News Radio Australia, going beyond the spin, deception and propaganda of mainstream news. Visit truthnews.com.au and subscribe now.
The man who stole the water will swim forevermore, but he'll never reach the land on that golden shore. That faint white light will haunt his heart till his only memory lost in the dark. Dig a hole in the ground.
the fire on earth. Now dig a hole in the ground, straight down to hell, till there ain't no more water in the well, well, well. When you're down on your knees with nothing left to sell, try digging a little deeper in the well, well, well. I say, well, 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 well.
Welcome back to Truth News Radio Australia. It is great to have your company today. And for our final half hour of the show, I have Josh Jackson, a regular contributor to this show and a man of great passion and great purpose, who joins us from Adelaide. Welcome, Josh Jackson, to Truth News Radio live.
G'day, folks. How are you? Right across from the Pacific Ocean. Lovely to have your company today. And we've got some fantastic stuff lined up.
Well, Josh, you've sent me a list here of some points that you're going to emphasize today in our discussion. And of course, I've already mentioned earlier that you're coming on to talk about Bitcoin, and we're going to talk about a whole swag of issues there about Bitcoin, why it should be used. Why gold bugs don't like it, why it is not a Ponzi scheme. So, look, I'll tell you what I'm going to do is I'm just going to hand the floor to you, my friend, and you can tell us about the joys of Bitcoin.
Well, you know, it's basically an experiment as well. But, you know, I love disruptive technologies. I love things that, like when Napster came along, I just thought this is really going to ruffle the feathers of the music industry. And, you know, the music mafia really had control of musicians for a very long time. And you know, yeah, there's a few that got through. Madonna and a few hundred artists would get paid very well from this system. But the vast majority of musicians really had a hard time promoting themselves. And they would have to sign into these nasty contracts where they'd be stuck for, you know, five, six, seven albums at 50 cents an album sold after the first 200,000 and stuff like this. And so, you know, it would make it very hard. Then Napster came along. All of a sudden, you know, you could share your song with millions of people. And, you know, from an artist's point of view, it's better to be recognized than poor than really have no recognition at all. And actually, what happened from an artist's point of view, you wouldn't be poor. You'd be recognized. You'd become famous very fast, and you would then see people joining and you have it joining your website and having direct contact with you. So you could build your distribution network very fast and sell directly to the consumer of your art. Now, Bitcoin is doing a similar thing in terms of disruption to the financial world order, which has been in play for a very, very long time. And we have now a system, you know, banks charge you an arm and a leg for keeping a couple of database entries about how much money you have, how much money you owe, and how much money is coming in. Owe you how much money is owed to you. So it's really such a pathetic, really a little tiny thing that they do. Really, when we nail it down, I mean, it's what Bitcoin is doing is what mail did to the postal service, except, you know, the postal service is reaping the rewards through packages sent through eBay and stuff. But letter writing is almost dead, and bills and all these things are dead. And that was a large chunk of the postal service. So Bitcoin is going to do the same to banks, where it is allowing you as the person to store those database entries on your computer, to keep control of your money on multiple computers, on your computer, on the thumb drive, on your phone, or in the cloud, and send one send some money to someone overseas. So an American could send someone to us in Sydney, Australia, and it would get to us in an instant, like an email, and no one will take a cut. No one will know about the that you sent it to me. They'll know that two addresses exchange one Bitcoin because that's visible to everyone so that it can be verified as a payment. But it's amazing, folks. It's really amazing. So,
okay.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. And I've been watching it since it was $1 on parity with the US dollar, and it's been through a boom already. It's been through a bust. It's got all sorts of amazing rides at the moment.
Quite a fair amount of it yourself. You own some Bitcoin. I mean, how much have you got?
I bought 100.
I'm just saying that.
No, that's okay.
Yeah.
When I first sort of saw it, it was down at maybe 7 cents, and I didn't really buy into it. I was just looking at it and interested in it. And then one day I opened my computer and it said, oh, Bitcoin is at parity with the US dollar for the first time. And I thought, wow, $1. Geez, that's gone up. And yeah. I thought, oh, I'll buy $100 worth. And and that's and then I bought another 100 when it was at like 15, it was less, about $9. So it really is a fantastic sort of ride to go on, because it has really gone up to $30 and it's come back down to $5 or $4 now. So it's trying to find its price. It's trying to, and a lot of people saying this is the end. It was at $30 because it got pumped up and through a lot of media attention, and everyone was like, "Wow, this is crazy." But it is a very new concept.
It's the technique that is used by traders to manipulate markets. You know what I mean? Pump and dump. So they pump it up, and then they, when it gets to a high value, they sell it.
And yeah,
so that creates this sort of dynamic is actually created by the tactics that are used by traders.
Yeah, I mean, this was a different method. What this was a whole heap of media hype. And it really exploded on the scene because people were using it on black websites that sold drugs and weapons and stuff through a Tor system. And the funny thing was about this is that it actually made the criminalization, you know, it's very hard. If you went to buy drugs in the real world, it's very scary because a lot of these people are armed and it's dangerous and they'll rob you. Whereas this on the web, they have to, like eBay, they have to have a feedback rating, a star rating on, you know, I received the goods and all this. So it actually sort of made the black market a lot safer. But you know, but that's just one side of it. That's what caused a lot, because these two congressmen in the States heard about this and it went nuts. It went all over Fox News and everything. So of course, everyone went, wow, I can buy drugs online, and it actually exploded in the media. But but it's being used for amazingly good things too, like charity. People are paying for charities in Bitcoin for a whole lot of things, and that's the real good thing about it, is that people are buying and selling everything from alpaca socks to computers to services. So you're seeing a whole lot of people using it for legitimate purposes as well, and that's fantastic.
Now, I want to hit you with some criticisms, and we're just probably not – we're going to a new break shortly, but I want to talk about in the next segment, you know, the criticism, of course, of Bitcoin is similar to the criticism of other currencies that are not backed by anything solid. So Bitcoin is backed by some kind of obscure computer process which generates it, which they call something a bit like mining, but it's really just it's an intensive algorithm that generates the data on your computer. Now, this can be subjected to all kinds of criticism about you know, basing a currency on something like that, which is just almost a bit of technology, and of course. Mm-hmm. Things can change down the track, and you might be suddenly, you know, with faster computers, you might be able to generate Bitcoin really like 100 times quicker or 1,000 times quicker. And, you know, the concept of basing a currency not on a commodity is a problem. We're just going to break.
Are you the plaintiff or defendant in a lawsuit? Win your case without an attorney with JurisDictionary, the affordable, easy-to-understand 4-CD course that will show you how in 24 hours, step by step. If you have a lawyer, know what your lawyer should be doing. If you don't have a lawyer, know what you should do for yourself. Thousands have won with our step-by-step course, and now you can too. JurisDictionary was created by a licensed attorney with 22 years of case-winning experience. Even if you're not in a lawsuit, you can learn what everyone should understand about the principles and practices that control our American courts. You'll receive our audio classroom, video seminar, tutorials, forms for civil cases, pro se tactics, and much more. Please visit ruleoflawradio.com and click on the banner or call toll-free 866-LAW-EASY.
Hey, did you hear? Ron Paul's announced he's running for president in 2012.
Who's Ron Paul?
Really? Okay, put down the cell phone for 1 minute. Your friends really don't care about your Twitter updates on what you had for breakfast.
Oh, but I love to make those little smiley faces with punctuation marks.
Of course you do. Now listen closely. You need to go down to Brave New Books and learn as much as you can about Ron Paul and his message before it's too late. They have all of his books and many of the books he talks about. They also have t-shirts, bumper stickers, and yard signs so that you can show your support for him during the campaign.
Brave New Books? Do they have Harry Potter and Twilight?
No, but they do carry a large selection of survival and preparedness books to protect your family in time of emergency.
That sounds like that show on the Discovery Channel.
Yeah, there's even a wilderness survival expert that teaches classes called Earth Skills School that you can sign up for on the website bravenewbookstore.com. What are you doing?
I'm tweeting all my friends that they should go to bravenewbookstore.com or down to the bookstore in person. Where's that located?
1904 Guadalupe Street.
There, it's sent. I even made a smiley face.
Great.
You're back with Truth News Radio Australia. I'm Harold Fenton, and today I'm talking to Josh Jackson, who is an aficionado of Bitcoin, the alternative currency, which is created by basically some kind of algorithm that runs on your computer that generates a data file, which is then shared by the BitTorrent type network. A lot of very interesting high-end technology used to make it work.
But what's happening now is, sorry to interject, but people are really fine, you know, to make it mainstream, they want to make it as easy as email, because there's a lot of high-tech technology going on behind email, but everyone can use it nowadays.
Of course, yeah, and you know, that can all be made very smooth. You know, you just need to work on it, and clever people can make it work. But we still have this problem about, you know, the nature of money is a big problem in our society in itself. And yeah. I think, you know, and I know you agree with this, the money as debt concept, which is what drives everything, is so fundamental to our society. And we know that is wrong. Like, it shouldn't be based on debt. And then we've got this secondary issue that the fractional reserve system, which allows money to be created out of nothing, so that a note is not really backed by anything that's solid, which I guess is an ancillary or it's related to this issue of generating money as debt, because this new money that's created has nothing to back it. And, you know, back before that system came into place, money was backed by something that was considered valuable, that had a known weight, and it could be measured and could be checked, and that was gold. And then we went off the gold standard in 1933, and this is what we're in now. Now, how is Bitcoin going to solve that?
Well, the thing is, you bring up a very good point, and every bit of, just to back up a bit, every dollar that someone has in their pocket from legacy currencies like a Federal Reserve note is actually lent into existence. So if you have a $20 bill in your pocket, somebody around the world, either somebody in America or around the world, owes that $20 to the bank. So every bit of currency that's flying around is actually owed. So it builds this perpetual debt slavery globally. And this is what a lot of people have against legacy government-run or Federal Reserve-run currencies. And with gold is created into the system, and it's spent into existence. And same with Bitcoin. It's created and it's spent into existence. So when you have when you have a Bitcoin, you have it. Nobody owes that Bitcoin to a bank. It is in circulation. Same with gold. When you have a piece of gold, it's yours. It's nobody else owes that, unless you've borrowed the gold off someone, of course, or a Bitcoin. But if you go right back to its roots, where it came from, it is created. It is created into existence. It is spent into existence. So that's a very, very important distinction, because it breaks this monopoly on debt that has been, or duopoly, or most countries have a monopoly on debt. You only have one currency that you're allowed to use.
Can you just clarify that point you just made? So when Bitcoin is created, it is spent into existence?
Well, that's right. It's created. Let's say it's created by mining rigs. So this is where it gets a bit complex, and I don't think we. Sometimes it baffles people, but let's just talk about it quickly. So what happens is a Bitcoin is based on an algorithm, a mathematical query, and the computers, in the early days, the questions were very easy to compute. And so a computer would work on a problem. It's very it's a difficult problem, but it gets solved, and then 50 Bitcoins get created out of that packet.
Okay.
The person who mined those gets those 50 Bitcoins, and that's theirs. They don't owe them to anyone anymore. So they can spend those now anywhere. So it's spent into – do you know what I mean? It's spent. It's not lent, so it doesn't
– work for your money. It's like you dug a hole and, you did something and you got it. You got the money.
That's right.
That's a mining metaphor, is you're sort of digging it out of the ground, and it's like gold in the sense that it's an analogy. But you're basically saying – you're mining this stuff, you're getting it out of the ground, and then you don't owe anything except, your computer had to do some work.
That's right.
If we offered money to get a supercomputer and then had that supercomputer sit all day just generating Bitcoin, you'd be able then to you'd have all this money, right? Is that correct?
But what happens is as Bitcoin gets older, it's built into the system that the queries and questions get harder and harder to solve. So the questions now take about 2.5 days for a really, really beefy, powerful computer to sit there churning, like, 5 or 10 graphics cards stacked, the best graphics card you can get, the GPUs pumping away at these things. And as more and more Bitcoins come into circulation, those get harder and harder. Just like mining gold, if you kept on mining, it just gets harder and harder to find gold, so the gold becomes worth more. Now, a lot of people say it's a Ponzi scheme because people that get in early do well, and then they cash out when it's the currency's deflated and worth a lot more. And yes. The thing is that it's nothing like a Ponzi scheme, because a Ponzi scheme is about somebody having a scam where it's very secretive. They try to suck in new people to pay for the old investors. And this is a scheme where it's very secret. You'll never know that you're in a Ponzi scheme. It looks very legitimate. The difference with Bitcoin is you know everything that's happening. It's open source. It's there. You know where it is. It's people are buying and selling the commodity on open exchanges all the time. It's a Ponzi scheme is built very differently on the fact that you think it's a legitimate investment, and in the background is actually not investing in anything. It's just giving you the money of new investors coming into a system, which is just not the definition of a Ponzi scheme. And so So some good points about it is that it's decentralized. So you're not got one bank. It's decentralized across the whole network. So no one can shut this thing down. It's untraceable mostly. So if I send you a Bitcoin, no one will know that I sent it to you. They'll know that two addresses sent one Bitcoin to each other, but they don't know. And you can always generate new addresses. It's very hard to tax, which is good and bad depending on your political persuasion. It's global in the fact that, like gold is, it's globally recognized as money, and it's instant. And that's where I think, you know, gold bugs say, oh, well, it's, you know, it's I like gold. But the thing is, I can't send a bit of gold to Germany and it be there with an instant and pay for a bit of software or donate or whatever. I can't send it in the post. It's dangerous. It can get lost. It needs to be insured. People will take a cut, all the rest of it, just like the postal service. And like we mentioned before, it's spent into existence instead of lent into existence. And that's extremely important. But, you know, gold is backed by the value of gold being it has an intrinsic value. It doesn't corrode. It doesn't. It has a whole lot of reasons why it's been money for thousands of years, and I think it will be money for forever more because of its properties, unless we find a better element. But we really gold as an element is one of the best forms of money because it doesn't corrode. It's rare. And it's amazing stuff. It's pliable, but not too pliable. It's amazing. Now, Bitcoin holds its value not because it's backed by anything like gold, but it holds its value on the fact that it's kind of rare. It is hard to mine it. It gets harder. But it holds its value more like a fiat currency in the fact that people are willing to accept it. So around the globe, slowly, more and more online merchants are accepting Bitcoin, more offline. Like there's a place called Mezzi Grill in New York that is a little sandwich shop that takes Bitcoin for its product and also buys and sells Bitcoin for you. So it's you know, online and offline, more and more people accepting it, and that gives it its value.
Well, you make a strong case, and you know you certainly are a strong advocate of Bitcoin. And I'd just like to ask, you know, what can we buy with it? Like, well, what sort of range of products and services can we currently buy with Bitcoin?
Well, it's current. It's expanding day in, day out. You know, someone's building right now is building a Bitcoin ATM. It's amazing. It's just happening so fast, and I think it'll take about. Years.
Sorry to interrupt, but what would a Bitcoin ATM actually produce? What does it spit out?
Well, it produces like a little plastic card with that you then rub off and you have your private encryption key. That's the other thing about Bitcoin. It's totally encrypted. So you get this encryption key that's got a certain amount of Bitcoin attached to it, and then you can go and spend that. And it's got a little QR code that you can take a photo of with your phone. And that'll then go into your wallet, and you can spend that.
When you withdraw from the Bitcoin ATM, where is it taking the money? Where is it taking the Bitcoins from? Like, it's putting them onto your card. Is that how it works?
It's putting onto. I'm not sure how that particular one, but it could put it onto your card, or it could put it into your Bitcoin address, or it can put it onto a physical Bitcoin. That it can spit out the machine, and you basically it has a number written on it, a unique number, which is a Bitcoin address, and you just have access to that.
Like
it's kind of tricky, but if people want to find out more,
gold coin sort of popping out of the ATM, you know, here is your Bitcoin, you know, made of 100% freshly mined bits.
Yeah, that's right. It's got its place, and I think you know it's still in very early stages. So if people aren't too technologically minded, it's getting easier, but it's still a little bit tricky to understand. But just like you know, a cell phone, cell phones are extraordinarily complex behind the scenes. But it's very.
Seconds. We've got about 20 seconds of this transmission left. Thank you for that fascinating information.
No, if anyone else has used Bitcoins, we'd love to hear from you. So leave a comment on the truthnews.com.au site and in the show notes. We'd love to hear how you've used
Bibles
it.
Bibles for America is offering absolutely free a unique study Bible called the New Testament Recovery Version. The New Testament Recovery Version has over 9,000 footnotes that explain what the Bible says verse by verse, helping you to know God and to know the meaning of life. Order your free copy today from Bibles for America. Call us toll-free at 888-551-0102 or visit us online at bfa.org. This translation is highly accurate and it comes with over 13,000 cross-references, plus charts and maps and an outline for every book of the Bible. This is truly a Bible you can understand. To get your free copy of the New Testament Recovery Version, call us toll-free at 888-551-0102. That's 888-551-0102. Or visit us online at bfa.org.